I want to ask you to take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. And would you find the very last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew? And I want you to find even the last verses in Matthew's Gospel. During the talk to us about the mission of taking the gospel to the entire world, and anything I would do in the month of March about that would not be complete if I did not take a few moments and look at the passage that I'm going to look at this morning that I've looked at many times before, and many of you in this room have looked at many times as well. But I'm going to do that this morning. And then also, we're going to continue with our evangelism training following our service this morning down at the Bridge Building. It was exciting last Sunday. We had about 100 people down in the Bridge Building, and we hope to have that again today, and just equip ourselves to be able to tell those who are family, friends, neighbors, work associates, classmates, whoever they are, about Jesus Christ. That's really what we're all about during the month of March. And so I want to read Matthew in the 28th chapter, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 18. I want to ask you to join me in standing in honor and respect of the reading of the Word of God. And would you look at these verses with me? And they may be new to some of you. They're not new at all to many of you. But I want to pray that you will look at them as though you were looking at them for the very first time today as we hear these words. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and it says this: "And Jesus came and spake unto them," talking about his disciples, "saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And I'm gonna encourage you just to keep your Bible open there, keep your tablet open, whatever you have. And I'm gonna go at this passage of scripture almost phrase by phrase and kind of take it apart for us today as I talk to you this morning on the subject of the Great Commission Church. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you today. Thank you for just allowing us to be here in this place. Lord, it's been wonderful this morning to sing praises to your name, and wonderful, God, just to sense your presence in this room today. We just want you to know that you're welcome here today. And Father, we pray now that as we look into this passage of Scripture, that you will use it to look into our hearts. God, that we as individuals will examine our life in light of your word, and God, that we will make sure that we're obeying you and doing what you're asking us to do. So Lord, bless this time. I pray you'd help me today. I pray that you would empty me of me. I pray you'd fill me up with you. I pray that you would give me the words that you would have me to say. I pray that you would guide my heart, my mind. And Lord, I pray at the close of this message that when people are invited to make commitments to Jesus Christ, that whatever you're asking us to do today, that our answer to you will be yes. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. It was many years ago. I was making a short flight from Oklahoma City to Dallas, Texas. It is a short flight, probably at the most 45 minutes from gate to gate, you know, about the time you get up in the air, you start coming down. So it's not a very long flight. In those days, it was just long enough for you to get up in the air and the flight attendants to get out their little cart and bring you a soda or a water or something to drink, and in those days, a little bag of peanuts to eat, you know. And so it was just real quick. And so I got on the airplane, got ready, and was ready for my soda and my snack. And we hadn't gone very far, and the pilot came on the intercom, and he said these words: "Because of the turbulence and the shortness of time, we will not be able to offer service as usual." You know what that meant. No soda, no peanuts, just because of the turbulence and the shortness of time, we will not be able to offer service as usual. And through the years, I've thought about that statement many times, and I've come to the conclusion that truer words have never been spoken to the church of Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, Westside, this morning, that because of the shortness of time, we cannot do service as usual. Because of the turbulence, and what I mean by that today, we are living in a very turbulent world. You know that, right? I mean, if you're paying attention, if you're watching and you know what's going on, there are family turbulence in our world today. There are financial turbulence in our world today. There are political turbulence, racial turbulence, moral turbulence, and the list goes on and on. And we're at the point now that every day as we wake up in the morning, before we go to bed at night, we're watching the news to see what's happening in Ukraine. Because of the turbulence and the shortness of time, I'm going to be very honest with you this morning. I believe that Jesus Christ could come at any moment. I do not know of anything in the Word of God, any prophecy that's ever been written that is unfulfilled that would keep the Lord Jesus from coming right now today. I think at any moment the Father could turn to His Son and say, "Go get my children." Because of the turbulence and the shortness of time, we have been living in what the Bible calls the last days since Jesus ascended to go up to be back with His Father. But it may very well be that we are now living in the last days of the last days. Because of the turbulence and the shortness of time, we cannot do service as usual. My dear friend, in the days that we're living in, we cannot do the usual. We cannot do the normal. We cannot put off that which we had planned to do someday. My dear friend, this may be the someday, and it may be the only day that we have. We cannot do service as usual. The world is too lost. The devil is too bold. The stakes are too high. Normal, everyday service will not suffice in the day that we're living in. So I'm telling you today, because of the turbulence and the shortness of time, we cannot do service as usual. So I want to take you back to, I think, what is one of the greatest passages of Scripture in all the Bible. It is a passage of Scripture that many of you in the room know of as the Great Commission. It's something that maybe you grew up with. Maybe you've heard that terminology all your life. For some of you, it may be brand new. But whenever you read these verses of Scripture, oftentimes they're referred to as the Great Commission. Great because it means that it has importance. Great because it is of priority. Great because it is such a monumental task. The Bible uses that word to describe things that are very, very important. The Bible talks about the great white throne judgment. This is the Great Commission. A commission is a task. It is an assignment. It is a duty that has been given. It is the main mission. That is, whenever you read these verses of Scripture, these are the marching orders of the church. These are the words that Jesus gave to His church before He went back to the Father and He was leaving His church in the world that we're living in. And He said, "This is what I want you to do. This is your task." And my dear friend, I would say to you this morning, if the church of Jesus Christ fails here, it will fail everywhere, because this is the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. So you have it there with you today. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to begin there in verse 18, and I want to say a few things to you about the Great Commission Church. That is a church that takes this passage of Scripture seriously and is on mission for the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to say to you is that a Great Commission church understands her authority. The Great Commission church understands her authority. Before Jesus even got to the mission to tell the church what to do, he established the authority of the church. So let me say a few things to you about the authority of the church. Number one, I want to speak about the significance of her authority. The Bible said, Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And I want you to think about that little word power for just a moment. It is actually a translation of a Greek word that means an ability to speak or an authority. I think the Greek word is actually better translated power. Now, there are other times in your Bible that there's a Greek word translated power. You may remember that over in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord Jesus, given another rendition, if you will, of the Great Commission, said, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." That's a different Greek word. The word there is a word, is the Greek word dunamis, that gives us our Greek word dynamite. But that's not the word here. The word here is a word that means authority. That is, he said, all power is given unto me. That is, I'm giving you the right to speak. I'm giving you the authority to speak. He's saying to the church of Jesus Christ, I'm giving you the freedom to speak. That is the significance of his authority. Secondly, notice this. Also, the source of her authority, the church of Jesus Christ. Where does the church get her authority? Well, the Bible says it comes from Jesus. Well, where did Jesus get his authority? The Bible says it comes from his Father. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." John chapter 3, verse 35, Jesus says, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand." So the source of the authority of the church of Jesus Christ, it is from the Father to the Son to those who are believers in Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth," which, by the way, then talks about the scope of her authority. The Bible says all power. And by the way, that little Greek word all is a little word that means all. Bible study for you right there this morning. It is all authority. But he spells it out by saying it's all authority, listen, in heaven and in earth. That is, in heaven, that means this is authority that you have. That is authority over cherubim and seraphim. This is authority over those that are holy angels and those who are fallen angels. This is authority over Satan himself. All power is given unto me in heaven, then he also said, and in earth. Earth means that includes kings and that includes presidents. That includes empires and that includes nations. That includes disease and that includes death. That is, he said, all authority, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And Jesus says, I'm giving that authority to you. As a matter of fact, whenever you read verse 18, it must be understood in light of verse 17. You say, "Pastor, you didn't read verse 17. You are very astute this morning. Because back in verse 17, Jesus said, the Bible says, and when they saw him, that is the disciples, when they saw him, listen, they worshiped him, but notice this, but some doubted. There were some disciples there who doubted. There are some disciples here who doubt his authority. So the Bible says some of them doubted. The word means some of them began to hesitate. Some of them began to think twice. That's literally what it means. The Bible uses that word only one other time in your scripture, and that is whenever Jesus and his disciples were out in a boat, a storm came up, and the Bible says Jesus came walking to them on the water. There was one by the name of Simon Peter who asked the Lord Jesus if he could come walking with him. You remember the story. And as Simon Peter walked out on the water, then the Bible says he walked for a little while, and what happened? He began to sink. And Jesus said, "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" Why did you think twice? It's the very same word. So there were some who were doubting him. And it's because of their doubt that Jesus then looks at them and says, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." I say all that to say this. In this room today, there are many disciples of Jesus Christ. Some of you have been a disciple of Jesus Christ for a long time. But if we're not careful, we begin to waver, and we begin to doubt, and we begin to think twice. Oh, it's very easy to come to church on a Sunday morning like we have here this morning, and you have a crowd of people, or you fill up the choir, you sing the great songs about the gospel. It's real easy on Sunday morning to be really confident and bold in your faith. But what happens on Monday morning when you go to work? Or what happens on Thursday afternoon whenever you're at school? Or what happens on Saturday whenever you're at a ball game? I mean, here, when you're here, you feel real good about the authority, and you're excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're not so excited whenever you go to speak to your boss at work. You're not so excited whenever you go to talk to the bully at the schoolhouse. And so the Bible is reminding us here, listen, whenever you begin to think twice, whenever you begin to have doubts, he said, you need to remember your authority. What kind of authority is it? Well, it's authority of Jesus Christ, the one who calmed the raging sea. It's the authority of the one who told the wind to lie down, and it lay down at his feet. It's the authority of the one who cast demons out of a Gadarene maniac. It's the authority of one who caused a lame man to get up and walk. It's the kind of authority that caused a blind man to be able to see. It's the kind of authority that caused a dead man to come walking out. It's the kind of authority that can forgive a man of his sin. So Jesus said to every disciple, every believer in Christ, he said, I'm giving you that kind of authority. All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. My dear friend, if you would ever understand your authority, my friend, you could ride into hell on a motorcycle and you could beat the devil to death with a snowball if you understood the authority that you have in Jesus Christ. The Great Commission Church understands her authority. Do you understand your authority this morning? It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who also gave it to us because his Father gave it to him. Now, understanding the authority, now I want you to get the assignment. Because whenever you now come to verse 19, a Great Commission Church also undertakes her assignment. Now, what is the assignment of the church? Three things I want you to look at in verses 19 and 20. Number one, Jesus said, go make disciples. It says there in verse 20, after he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Now, you know this. If you're paying attention, you know this. Every time you read the word therefore in your Bible, you need to ask the question, what's that there for? That's what you need to ask. Why is it there? Jesus is saying, listen, because of your authority, in light of your authority, now you need to go and teach all nations. And literally, teach all nations means go make disciples. Tune in real quick, please. The assignment of the church, first and foremost, is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. That's our assignment. What he means is, he said, I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to make believers out of unbelievers all over the world. I want you to take the gospel to them. Whenever you read this literally in the text, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's what God wants us to do. That's why we preach the word, is because we're charged to make disciples. That's the purpose of a connection group, is to make disciples. Could I underline that this morning? The purpose, the main primary purpose of your connection group, that small group Bible study, is to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Harry Pyland, who many years ago was the president of the Southern Baptist Sunday School Board, said this. He said, if your connection group, actually he said, if your Sunday school class has not made one convert in an entire year, you have forfeited your reason for existence. That's pretty tough. But that's the truth. That's what he said. What we do is to make disciples. That's why we have Vacation Bible School, because we want to make disciples. That's why we send kids to camp, is because we want to make disciples. That's why every Sunday morning we give a gospel invitation, because we want to make disciples. That's why we go on mission trips, because we want to make disciples. That's why we send money to missionaries, because we want to make disciples. Here's the first thing he said. He said, go make disciples, that is, reach men and women, boys and girls, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If I could say to you what he said, he wants us to lead people to get saved, to get born again, to become a Christian, whatever terminology you want to use. He said, that's the assignment. Go make disciples. And by the way, friend, that's not just to the so-called religious professionals. That's to every believer in Christ. If you are a Christian today, your number one assignment is to make disciples. But that's not all he said. The assignment also, he said, and go and mark disciples. He said, go and teach all nations, listen to what he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing translates that Greek word baptizo. It is a word that literally means to bury or to put under. That's why whenever we baptize at Westside Baptist Church, we baptize by immersion. That is, people are placed under the water. That's what New Testament biblical baptism is. It's being buried in the water. Friend, if you've been sprinkled, you've not been baptized, not biblically baptized. And the first step of somebody who becomes a disciple of Jesus Christ is to follow him in baptism. Why should someone get baptized? Can I give you two quick reasons? Number one, because baptism makes a statement. And that statement is this: I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Whenever you get in the baptistry waters and you take your stand there and you're put under the water and you're raised up out of the water, you're saying to everybody who watches you, I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Baptism makes a statement. I mean, you wear that cap that has the logo of your favorite team because you're not ashamed of your team. You wear that t-shirt that has the logo of your favorite team because you're not ashamed of your favorite team. You walk around proudly supporting your team. When you get in that baptistry, you're saying, I'm not ashamed that I'm on the team of the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes a statement. May I tell you a second reason? Baptism also tells a story. In fact, it tells two stories. The first story it tells, whenever somebody is placed under the water and then they're raised up out of the water, it tells the story of Jesus Christ. What happened to Jesus? He died on a cross. He was buried in a grave and he resurrected from the dead. It tells the story of Jesus Christ, but it also tells your story if you've been saved, because when you give your heart to Christ, the Bible says you die to the old way that you used to live and you're raised to walk in the newness of life. It's saying to everybody, just like Jesus died on a cross and rose from the dead, I have died to the old way that I have lived, and I'm now walking walking in the newness of Jesus Christ. That's why we make a big deal out of baptism around here, not because it saves anybody, but because it's a demonstration that somebody has been saved. We got people been baptized in our baptistry. We've got people who've been baptized at the beach. We've got people who've been baptized in the swimming pool. We got people who've been baptized in the horse tank. I mean, we baptize people anywhere that they're ready to give their heart to Jesus Christ. So the person who gives their heart, once you've been made a disciple, you'll be marked a disciple as a believer in Christ through baptism. My dear friend, if you say, I'm saved, but you haven't been baptized, one of two things. Number one, you're either a disobedient believer, or number two, you're not a believer at all. Because if you know Jesus Christ, you'll want to obey Jesus Christ, and you'll want to be baptized. I don't know how many of you were here last Sunday morning. How many of you were here last Sunday morning? May I see your hand? Raise your hand. You were here last Sunday morning. Thank you very much. You probably know what I'm about to say. Last Sunday morning was one of the most moving experiences we've had here in a long time. We had a man who came down those baptistry steps, and those of us who sat there and watched that, we knew this man was having difficulty just navigating those steps. But why was he doing it? Because he wanted to be baptized. We also saw this man also was afraid of the water, but yet he came all the way down into that water, and many of us watched that, and it was moving. I mean, I get emotional to even think about it, because I think about, here's a man who had much difficulty, much to overcome, but he down deep in his heart, he wanted to be baptized. And I think about some of you sitting out here today, you can make those steps up and down with no problem. You have no problem with water, but yet you won't get in the baptistry for some reason. I'm going to tell you, the first step of obedience of a child of God is to get baptized. So we go make disciples. We go mark disciples. Thirdly, here's our assignment also. The scripture says you go and you mature disciples. Teaching them, he said, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The word teaching there means giving instruction. So here's what I want to just quickly say about that. And that is, once somebody has given their heart to Jesus Christ and then have followed the Lord in baptism, the assignment of the church is to teach them the Word of God, teach them the great doctrines of the church. Now, folks, I'm just going to tell you, it breaks my heart that the modern church is pretty much biblically illiterate. We don't understand the great doctrines of the church. There are many people today who maybe have grown up in this church or some other church, but that you cannot defend your faith, because you don't know the great doctrines of the church. Our job is to teach people how to study the Bible. Our job is to teach people how to spend time in prayer. Our job is to teach people how to share their faith. Our job is to teach people how to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Our job is to teach people even how to give financially to the church. That when the Bible says, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. That's the job of the church. So when you think about the Great Commission Church, not only understands her authority, but she also undertakes her assignment. And what is her assignment? Go and make disciples. Go and mark disciples. Go and mature disciples. That is our assignment. My mind goes back to 1965. I was just a boy about 13 years of age, and we had gone on vacation with my family. We went down to Galveston, Texas, where I honed my surfing skills that I have to this very day. And on our way back, we came through Houston, Texas. And we stopped in Houston, Texas in 1965 because they had built in Houston, Texas, what was known as, or at least called at that time, the eighth wonder of the world. Because in Houston, Texas, they had built the Houston Astrodome, the very first indoor athletic stadium. And so we stopped there in 1965, because the Houston Astros were playing the Los Angeles Dodgers in a baseball game. It was a standing room only crowd, and we were part of the standing room only crowd. We stood out there in the mezzanine, out in right field, way up there on the high. I remember it to this very day. We were standing there. We couldn't get a seat. The place was just filled. The Los Angeles Dodgers had a baseball player by the name of Maury Wills. Maury Wills at that time was noted to be a base stealer. And whenever Maury Wills, who played for the Dodgers, got on first base there in Houston, the crowd began to chant, "Go, go, go." They wanted him to steal second base. But a sold out crowd in a away game, and they were all chanting to Maury Wills, "Go, go, go." By the way, eventually he did go, and he did steal second base, and maybe he even stole third base. It'd been too long ago, I don't remember that, but he did go. But every time I think of that, I'm thinking sometimes that maybe the angels of glory are leaning over the portals of heaven, and they're looking down at you, and they're looking at me, and they're saying to the modern church, "Go make disciples. Go mark disciples. Go mature disciples." God's people wants us to go. And so the scripture says a great commission church not only understands her authority, but she undertakes her assignment. One last thing. The Bible also says the great commission church unleashes her ability. The ability to fulfill the mission is found in the latter part of this passage of scripture, and it's impossible without these final words. Listen to what Jesus said. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The Great Commission Church unleashes her ability. Now, the first thing I want you to see there is the priority of the mission. Jesus said, "And lo," let me just stop right there. Can I preach for a moment about lo? Oh, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm reminded of the old preacher who years ago was preaching at a conference, and somebody gave him the assignment, and they said, "We want you to preach on this subject, God is love." And he began to study his sermon, and he came to the conference to preach his message on God is love. And he got up, and the first thing he said was something like this. He said, "Well, whenever I was given this assignment, the first thing I thought, well, I'm just going to preach on God. And then I thought, well, who's ever exhausted? How can I talk about the greatness and the majesty of our God?" He said, "Then I decided, well, I'll just preach on love." He said, "But who's ever exhausted the subject of love?" He said, "So I've come to y'all today. I just want to preach on the word is." I kind of feel like that. I want to say a word about lo. By the way, that little word's gotten a bad rap. It's a word that some people have used as an excuse to never get an airplane, because he said, "And lo, I'm with you always." So they won't get on a plane. Of course, that's not what it means. The word lo is a word, it is an attention-getting word. It is a word that means there's something to follow that's going to be very, very important. And lo, it is a word that means, and see, I am with you always. It is a word that can be translated, and behold, I am with you always. It is a word that could be translated, and look, I'm with you always. Or one translation says, "And remember, I'm with you always." I did do a little bit of study of that, because that word just intrigued me. That word shows up whenever the angels appeared to announce the birth of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them." It shows up whenever the wise men were following the star. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "And lo, the star which they saw in the east." It is also a word that showed up whenever the angel was announcing the resurrection of Christ. And the angel said, "He that goeth before you into Galilee, therefore ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you." That is, it is a word that is a word of priority that says something about is about to be said. And so what's about to be said? He said, "And lo, I'm with you always." It not only talks about the priority of the mission, but it also talks about the power of the mission, because after Jesus told us about his authority, after he told us about our assignment, Jesus said this. Listen to this. Jesus said, "I'm going to be with you. I'm going with you." Some have said Jesus was saying, Jesus was saying, "I myself, the divine, resurrected, living, eternal God, I will be with you." Some have said it means this: lo, pay attention, listen to what I'm about to say, as you go in my authority to make disciples, to mark disciples, mature disciples, as you go do that, I'm going to be with you. I'm not sending you across the street, down the road, around the world, by yourself. No, lo and behold, I am going to be with you. I'm going to tell you today, whenever you think about that, how can you not go? Whenever Jesus said, "I will go with you," listen, it's almost like we ought to say, "Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go if you're going to go with me." And Jesus said, "I'm going with you." So it's the priority of the mission, it's the power of the mission, but the last thing I want you to see is the period of the mission. How long? How long is he going to be with us? He said, "Lo, I'm with you always." I think that's a personal statement to every disciple. I will be with you always. That literally it means all the days of your life. It means as long as you live, I will be with you always. And then he says, "I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world," or some translations say, "even unto the end of the age," that is, to the end of the church age. We are in the church age right now. He said, "I'm going to be with you until the end of the church age." When will the church age end? It will end when there's a shout from heaven, and when there's the trump of God, and there's the voice of the archangel. He said, "I'm going to be with you until Jesus Christ returns to rule and to reign." So until that day, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be leading you. I'll be empowering you. I'll be using you, because listen, what he's saying is, if I ask you to do my work will not lack my power, my supply. So lo and behold, go, because I'm going to be with you always until the trump of God sounds. And you say, "Pastor, is that true?" I wish we could call the Apostle Paul to the platform today. And I think what Paul would say is something like this. I think Paul would say, "You know, I got saved on a street called Straight. God called me to be a missionary to the Gentiles. I rimmed the Mediterranean Sea, leading people to Christ, starting churches. And I'm going to tell you this, sometimes I was beaten. Sometimes I was stoned. Sometimes I was in prison. One time I was left for dead. But I'm going to tell you, lo, Jesus was with me every step of the way." I wish we could get old Stephen to come up and give a testimony. You know what Stephen would say? Something like this. He said, "You know, I was one of those that was full of faith and full of the Spirit. I was set aside to be a deacon in the early church." He said, I was falsely accused of blasphemy. He said, "They led me outside the city. They stoned me to death." But he said, "I'll tell you what, before I died, I looked up into heaven and I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to tell you, lo and behold, he was with me every step of the way." I believe with all my heart, you could call every missionary, you could call every martyr, you could put every one of them right here on this platform, and you would ask them and say, is it true that Jesus was with you always, even to the end of the age? Every one of them would say, without a doubt, lo and behold, he was with me all the way. And my dear friend, I say that to say this, he's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to leave you. And he's not going to leave you. And he's not going to leave you. He'll not leave you. Jesus Christ will do exactly what he said he will do. And he said to us, he said, lo, I will be with you all the days of your life. The pilot said, because of the turbulence and the shortness of time, we will not be able to do service as usual. I hope you hear what I'm saying to you today. And I'm not, I'm speaking to a congregation, but I hope you'll hear me today as though I was speaking to you as a congregation of one. I'm saying to every one of you today, because of the turbulence and the shortness of time, we cannot do service as usual. Jesus could come just like that, any moment, and call all this that's going on in our world to a halt. And the dead in Christ could rise, and those who know the Lord could go be with him. I believe that can happen any moment. If that's true, and I believe it is, what is it that Jesus wants you to do? What is it you've been thinking about doing, maybe even plan on doing someday, but you haven't done it yet? Do you need to get saved? You need to give your heart to Jesus? I'll promise you this, when that trumpet sounds, it'll be eternally too late. There'll be no second chances. Whatever you plan to do, if you're going to give him your heart now, you need to do it now. You need to get saved. Are there some of you in this room today, you need to get baptized? You know it. You've been saved, but you haven't been obedient in that small step of baptism. But I'm going to tell you what, if you won't obey him in that step, there's some other steps you won't obey him in either. Take that first one, and it makes all the rest of them a whole lot easier. You need to get baptized? You need to join this church today? You've been looking for a church home. Maybe you've been coming here a long time, maybe not, but maybe this is your first time. You say, man, I need a church home. I need a place to serve. I need a place to grow. I need to be taught those great doctrines of the faith. I need to learn how to read my Bible. I need to learn how to pray. I need to get plugged into a church, and I believe this is the place. Come join this church today. Got somebody in your heart you need to talk to about Jesus? You got a neighbor? You got a family member, a friend, somebody you work with, somebody you go to school with, been a little bit scared to say anything about it? And Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And if you'll go, I'm going to go with you. Do it now before it's eternally too late. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a word of prayer? In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. I'm going to invite you today to do whatever it is the Lord's asking you to do. I wouldn't ever want anybody to come walking down one of these aisles because you say, well, Brother Keith talked me into it today. No, that's not a good reason to come. But if the Holy Spirit of God has impressed upon your heart something that he wants you to do, then you ought to come today. Whatever it is, do it. Father, today, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence in our service today. Thank you, Lord, for right now, what you're saying to your people and people who maybe don't even know you. Thank you for what you're saying. I pray that our spiritual ears would be open and attentive to what you have to say. Give us an obedient heart, God, to do what you're asking us to do. This is your time right now. You brought us to this moment to do business with you. Help us to say yes to whatever it is you're asking us to do. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.